Lord, we just thank you for your word that you've preserved and we have here for our instruction, Lord. We just thank you for that. It's been translated. We can understand it. Please be with Pastor Tom as the word comes forth and let your truth come, Lord. We love you. We want you in this service. Let you be praised. Amen.
Continue setting up. You go right ahead, ladies, as I continue to prepare. Mark, would you be so kind as to hand me my Bible right there? Thank you, brother. Turn with me in your Bibles to the letter of Corinthians, chapter 14, if you haven't already. And also, there is an outline that is in the bulletin that will go along with the message this morning. And if you find it helpful, it will also follow along the PowerPoint. And for those of you who like to fill in the blanks and take notes, you can do that. And I actually had someone who made a paper airplane out of my notes a couple weeks ago and flew it at me right after the service. So I got to be careful what I say you can do. This morning, I want to talk about the use of spiritual gifts. 2 weeks ago, we began this series, and we looked at chapter 13, and it talked about how love was the most excellent way. And that is the foundation of ministry and the foundation of our gifts. Then in chapter 12, we looked at the fact that we are all members of the body. Each one of us are members. And every one of us has gifts and abilities and talents that the Lord has given to us. And we need those gifts. Each one of us need those gifts in the body. We need one another, and we need each other's gifts. And so this morning, I want to talk about the use of spiritual gifts. And the ladies have graciously agreed to do a skit that they did yesterday at their ladies' meeting and to help us with a picture of the use of gifts. So God bless you, gals.
I wanted to give you a short introduction. This is a skit, somewhat humorous, and in most of the cases, it's a more physical way of demonstrating the gifts of the Spirit. The setting is, if you could imagine, a large church banquet. And at a ladies' event, and the ladies are just finishing up their main course, and their speaker here is Sandy Rhodes on the end, and she's scheduled to teach following the meal. They're between the main courses, and these ladies over here are just kind of mingling and talking, as ladies are good at doing. So we'll just see what happens when the problem occurs. Okay.
Okay, don't feel too bad. Besides, this could have happened to anyone, really. Here, don't feel too bad.
Oh, my goodness, what a mess. Ladies, let me help you out. Here you go. Clean yourself off. Here, get your hands cleaned up. I'll get this mess cleared up for you. Don't worry.
I truly understand what happened here. You know, it wasn't that you were bringing dessert and that you were taking away the dishes. It was the carpet and your shoes and the equilibrium between what was balancing on the plate. We really need to learn from these situations.
Hey, ladies, don't be discouraged. Don't give up. You're both good waitresses. And with practice and training, you can become great waitresses.
I just know it.
Well, let's see. We've got a damaged carpet, a jacket that's ruined, and we've rented this church. I'll tell you what. Why don't you go ahead and speak? Here's my jacket. You know, this is a really nice church, but the carpet, well, it's been needing to be replaced for some time now. I'll tell you what. I'll pitch in the first $5,000 if you ladies will jump in with me to replace it. Hey, Barb, could you get the vacuum cleaner And Kim, how about you get some towels? And you girls can get us 5 more desserts, and we'll get this thing going here. Let's see. There's something else. Oh, Marianne's going to sing the song that you sang earlier. After I make an announcement, you can sing it again, and then we'll get you up there speaking. May I make an announcement to everybody? We're going to have Marianne come and sing, and then we'll get all this cleaned up, and we'll get back in order. Thank you.
So I just wanted to bring to your attention, as you're departing here, Hope, who was the first one out, demonstrated the gift of prophecy in action. She brought some correction about the timing, but she was amazingly proclaiming the truths of witnessing, waitressing, if you will, for the purposes of strengthening and encouraging. Marianne Baker obviously was demonstrating the gift of mercy. She would empathize with the waitress's feelings of embarrassment and wanted to relieve them of their suffering, saying it's okay. Joetta Denny demonstrated the gift of serving. She was demonstrated love by meeting a practical need. Barb Pivick, who was next, showed us the example of the gift of teaching. She understood that the problem, she understood the problem and explained the details with clarity so that the waitresses understood and learned. Kim Lynch was an example of the gift of exhortation or encouragement. She came alongside them and assured them that they could improve, that they could do better. Charlene Flara obviously was demonstrated the gift of giving. She wanted to relieve a need by giving cheerfully and generously. And Missy Dawson demonstrated the gift of leadership. She stepped up, took the lead, saw a goal, and motivated and delegated others to help. Thanks.
Thank you, ladies. And Brenda Leonard demonstrated the gift of administration in putting this all together. And so, Brenda and ladies, thank you so much. We appreciate the many, many gifts that people use here in this church and throughout the body of Christ, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. And also some of those gifts are used to minister to people outside of the body. As we saw last week, God has given a spiritual gift to each one of us. Each one of us who have received the Spirit into our lives have a spiritual gift. And it's the way that God's grace, Jesus' grace, comes out of us. It's the way His grace comes out. It's an individually shaped gift for you and for me. And they're all different. They're very diverse. And last week we looked at the fact that God's planned it this way. Just as we have diversity in our physical body and just as we are physically diverse, so the gifts that He has given to us are diverse as well. But we need each other and we need each other's gifts. Now, as we move into the situation that was happening in Corinth, we find out that there was what I call a charismatic chaos. There was a charismatic chaos happening in Corinth. What do I mean by that? Well, they were very confused about their gifts. In fact, they're so confused that they actually think that they had actually done something to earn that gift. Now, if you earn a gift, is it a gift? No. And so Paul has to remind them in chapter 1, he says, listen, what do you have that hasn't been given to you? What do you have that hasn't been given to you as a gift? And if it's been given to you, why are you boasting as if it's something you earned or something, you know, has made you so wonderful? No, no, no. He says, it's been given to you. And so understand, he says, we're all very important and we all have a very important gift. Now, as we look at chapter 14, one of the other things that we see is there's a couple of particular gifts that were being demonstrated and were actually being abused. And one of them is the gift of tongues, the gift of speaking in tongues. And as Paul says, he says, listen, when you're all coming together, and if you're all speaking in tongues all at the same time, he says, people are going to come in and they're going to say you're out of your mind because they don't understand what you're saying. And so what he was saying is that, you know, there's a proper way to use our spiritual gifts. There's a proper order for the way that we are to use our gifts. And he actually lists quite a few here that we're going to look at this morning. The main point then in this message is this, that we are to follow the way of love. That's always our foundation. Amen? Always on the foundation of love. And then we are to use our grace gifts to edify and build up and strengthen each other in the body. It's that simple. We are to use our gifts to build up and strengthen each other here in the body. What does this word edify mean? That's a fancy word that means to build up. It's actually a term that you use in building a house. It means to build it up. From the ground up, you build a house up. Well, so it is with this word edify. It means to build it up, to strengthen it, to promote growth. And so God has given us these gifts to encourage, to strengthen, to promote growth in other people. Did you realize that? God has given you your gifts, watch this, for other people. A lot of times, what do we do with gifts? Not just spiritual gifts, but when we get a gift, someone gives us a gift, and what do? Ooh, you ain't touching my gift. Stay away from my Harley. Stay away from my shiny new toy. We don't want to share it. But in the context of the body of Christ, all the gifts have been given, not just for you, but for you to minister and give grace to other people in the body. We saw this in chapter 7, verse 12. It says that the manifestation of the Spirit, the invisible Spirit being made visible, is given for the common good, for the good of all the body. The gifts are not to be used for self-promotion. So number one, as we break this down, we are going to hone in on a couple of gifts here. And perhaps some of the questions that many of you have been asking and wanting to have answers for, I think we'll answer some of those today. So number one, he says, speaking in tongues must be intelligible. That's number one. Speaking in tongues must be intelligible. In other words, be understandable. And prophecy is to be preferred over speaking in tongues unless speaking in tongues is interpreted. What we're going to see here in just a moment is this, that when there is utterance in tongues and there is an interpretation, it is the equivalent to prophecy. Now, what does it mean by intelligible? It does not mean simply translated. We have to understand this. Because when we talk about spiritual gifts, they are of the Spirit. We're not talking about something in the natural. We're not talking about someone who, let's say someone came in and they were from the country of Poland. And they stood up and they were going to speak in their native tongue in Polish. And then someone else who knows Polish stands up and interprets that Polish into the common language. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about someone who supernaturally is able to speak in a language he's never learned. And then someone who supernaturally translates, or better, interprets that language spoken into the common tongue. And in this case, it would be English here. And it is supernatural and it's of the Spirit. But it must be done in God's way. It must be intelligible. It must be interpreted. The reason that he's making the equivalent is that, number one, prophecy does not need interpretation. It's spoken in the common tongue. And so a few weeks ago, when during the service, Brother Mike felt led of the Lord. He had a word that God was putting on his heart. And he said, Pastor, I just have something the Lord has put on my heart. He was giving a prophecy to us. Okay? And the reason that we understand it as a prophecy, because the word prophecy has a pretty wide definition. It means to speak forth, and in this context, to speak forth from God, to speak forth from the Spirit, to others. For what? Verse 3, for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And so Brother Mike came up and he shared a word that God had put it on his heart. It wasn't something that he had prepared for. I had prepared to preach that day. He had not prepared. But in the midst of our worship, in the midst of the moving of the Holy Spirit, he felt led. God put it on his heart and moved him to share that with us in the body. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit is moving upon many of us to use the kinds of gifts that he has given us? He wants us to be able to minister to each other. Why? You see, because sometimes, you know, when you hear a message from the Word that I've prepared, sometimes that connects with you, and you can be honest, sometimes it doesn't. And you see, the more people that are involved with testimonies, with singing, with a drama, and someone perhaps feeling led, the Lord putting a word on their heart, will come up and it will connect with you. It's what you need for that moment. God the Holy Spirit, listen, God the Holy Spirit knows what you and I need much better than any of us, even myself. God knows better what I need than even myself. He knows what you need. He knows exactly how to connect the truth of His Word with your need. And so He does that. If we allow Him, He will do that supernaturally in our lives. And He will speak to us. And just as it said a few moments ago, we read, it says, people that might come in, they might be visiting, they might even be unbelievers, and they'll come in and say, wow, I've never seen God acting like this. I've never seen God operating like this. God is really among you. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point, that we know God is in our midst. Now, everything is lined up with His Word. And He uses His gifts to bring His Word alive to us. And He has a way, doesn't He, of just pinpointing that Word and bam, hitting you right between the eyes. Or maybe you're here and you're just suffering. And you needed to know God is going to be with you. He is going to see you through a hard time, just like He is seeing Eileen and her family through a hard time. And that just touches you right in your heart. And God makes Himself real to you. And so that's the purpose of these gifts. And prophecy He uses for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort to us is a wide definition to speak forth from God. But then there's this interesting gift. And He says in the Scriptures here, begins in verse 2, He says, there's this gift called the utterance in tongues. What is this? Well, the gift of tongues, or utterance in tongues, speaking in tongues, is the ability to speak in an unlearned language. And now it can be either a human language, or as we saw in chapter 13, verse 1, an angelic language, a heavenly language. We know on the day of Pentecost, there are actually over 15 dialects spoken of in tongues, as the Holy Spirit gave utterance to them. And then Paul here is talking about the fact that there are many languages, and none of them, he says, are without meaning. And so there can be known human language, there can be angelic languages, there can be languages of the Spirit that are not known by the natural ear, the natural man, and then they are interpreted into the common tongue. Now, there's different ways that tongues, the utterance in tongues, can be used. We see in verse 14, it can be prayer. It can be prayer. He says, I will pray with my spirit. Verse 13, for this reason, if anyone speaks in a tongue, he should pray that me may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. It can be in the context of a prayer. It can be in the context, verse 16, of praise or thanksgiving. It can even be in the context of verse 15, singing. We gathered in a small prayer group the other day, and one of the brothers that was there, he felt led and actually did that. It was the first time I've ever heard it. But he felt led to pray in tongues, and he actually sang in tongues. And it was like, wow. And you know what? He's the most unmusical person you would ever know. But God, through the Holy Spirit, just equipped him in that moment to sing. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It can also be prophecy. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. And I didn't give this to the guys to put up there, but I want to turn you there to Acts chapter 19, in verse 6. We have to see this. Paul has gone down to Ephesus, and there's some disciples there that have only had the baptism of John, a baptism of repentance. They have not been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And so verse 6, or verse 5, when they hear about the fullness of Christ, they are baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. In verse 6 of chapter 19, when Paul places his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and what? They did what? They spoke in tongues and prophesied. The gift of tongues can be used in many ways. It is a gift of the Spirit, a language of the Spirit, whether it's known or unknown, human language, and it can be used in many ways. Let's not put God in a box. Especially if you've not read His Word. Read His Word and see the ways that He uses these kinds of gifts. Now, we're not all about just that one gift. There are many gifts. In just a moment, we're going to talk about it a little bit further. In verse 5, back to 1 Corinthians 14, he says, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in a tongue. Why? Unless he interprets. Why? Because the church needs to be edified. So that's why he's arguing that it be intelligible. It has to be interpreted. And prophecy is greater because you don't need interpretation with it. It's a human language. Interpretation. What does that mean? Verse 13. It means to interpret the utterance that is given in tongues into the common language. It can be the speaker. Watch this. Verse 13. It can be the speaker themselves. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. So it can be the speaker themselves. Or, verse 27, it can be someone else. Verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or three at the most should speak, and one at a time, and someone must interpret. So another person could interpret. That goes along with chapter 12, verse 7, where it says, to one he gives the gift of tongues, to another he gives the interpretation. And so this interpretation is also a gift of the Spirit. I want to encourage us. I think we become afraid of those things that we don't understand. And you know, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do something that you will not do or do not want to do. And so, you see, as He leads you in a particular gift, and it may not be any of those, it may be one of the gifts that were demonstrated here in the play, in the drama. But you've got to step out in them. You've got to be bold. And you say, Lord, you have given me a gift, and you've told me it's given for the whole body, and you've told me to use it, so I'm going to step out and be bold. And see, we encourage that here. We want you to use your gifts. But we also want them to be done according to the Scripture, decently and in order. So, let's look at a couple of other ones that he mentions. Oh, by the way, let me just back up. We read in verses 13 through 19 that the proper response to any abuse of any gifts, including the gift of tongues, the proper response is not disuse. It's not forbidding. No, it's proper use. It's not disuse. It's not discarding it. It's not saying to God, well, God, I like all these gifts, but this particular one I don't like, and we don't want it. Well, guess what? We don't get to tell God that. We don't get to play Holy Spirit with God. He tells us what gifts He's given us. He allows them to be distributed according to His will. We saw that chapter 12. And then He orchestrates through His Holy Spirit how those gifts are to be exercised. Listen, I don't know how to impress this upon you, but you could be here this morning, and God is urging you, He's moving you to minister in a particular way through the gift that He's given you, and you could be the one that is going to touch the heart through the Spirit, touch the heart of somebody that's here today that needs it. They need the ministry of God's grace to their lives. And you could be the one, if you will step out in faith and allow God to use you as the Spirit leads you. You understand that? You wonder sometimes, why aren't certain needs met in church? You know, we come to church and we pray for the same needs each week in and week out. And praise God, some of them are answered and we rejoice together. Amen? Many of them are answered. But many of them remain. And we wonder, you know, Lord, why aren't we seeing more? Well, what are you doing about it? What gifts has God given you? And what are you doing about it? You know, some of you have come to me and you say, well, Pastor, I felt the Lord tell me to say something, but I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I want to encourage you. Obey God. Move out in the Spirit. Move out in the gift He's given you and obey Him and allow God to minister through you. And He gives several other gifts. Watch this. Verse 6, you know, He says, if I come to you, and unless I bring to you a revelation or a knowledge or a prophecy or a word of instruction. Well, what on earth are those gifts? Revelation is this. It simply means the Holy Spirit is revealing an understanding of His truth to you. And guess what? What God has revealed to you is probably what someone is asking. Many others are probably asking in the church. You ever wonder, you know, oh, I'm the only one that has this question. I feel dumb. I don't want to ask it, you know. and you finally get the gumption to ask it, and you find out there's 15 other people that are asking the same question. They want to know too. Well, guess what? Sometimes God will give you a revelation, understanding of His Word, you know, and it may be, you know, very common, very, doesn't just seem like a real big deal, but other times it will be deep. It will be powerful, and it will minister not only to you, but to those around you that have that question, have that need. Knowledge. Knowledge is understanding of a revealed truth, or it could be supernatural knowledge. I said to you last week, there's going to come a time, I know it will come, as God continues to move us in the Spirit, there's going to come a time that God's going to read your mail. What do I mean by that? Some of us are still playing games with God. Some of us still have secret sins. Some of us are still trying to hide stuff from God and still trying to hide stuff from one another. We put on the church face and we come and we go through the motions and we think we're hiding everything from God and we're hiding everything from each other. And what God's going to do one of these times through supernatural knowledge, He's going to read your mail and He's going to call you on the carpet. You remember Acts chapter 5? What happened? Peter is presiding over the apostles at this point. He's sort of the leader. And Ananias and Sapphira, they decide they're going to come up with this little scheme. And so as others were selling land and giving it for benevolence, for the common good, so Ananias and Sapphira, they decide to sell a piece of land, but they do something very deceiving. They come to the apostles and they hold back a portion of the money. They hold back a portion of the money for themselves. And they lay the money at the apostles' feet and they say, oh, well, here's all the money we sold the land for, and you can use that for the benevolence. And God gives a supernatural knowledge to Peter, and He says, Ananias, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? You've not lied to me. You've not lied to men. You know, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. The money was yours. You could have kept some of it for yourself and told us that, and that would be fine. It's your money. You're the steward of it, really. You can do with it what you want, but you lied. You took some of that money and kept it for yourself. He says, you've not lied to men, you've lied to God. And what happened to Ananias? He fell down dead. God judged him. Now, thank God, He doesn't usually deal with us that way anymore. Because I'm going to tell you something, I'd be dead. Yeah. Because there's been times that Pastor Tom has tried to lie and tried to deceive, and I would fall down dead if he judged us like that. So I'm thankful for His grace. But how many times have we done that? We've tried to deceive. We go all the way except for that little bit. And we hold it back. Whatever it might be. And I'm telling you, God is going to continue to move in His Spirit here, and there's going to be times when He reveals things to people. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to encourage us. Don't go at each other with, thus saith the Lord, Brother Kent, the Lord is going to strike you unless, you know, you don't need to do that. Okay? First of all, God never spoke in King James. Okay? It's a fine translation, if you can understand it. But God and Paul did not speak in King James. Okay? So here's the way you approach each other when God shows you something. You go to your brother and say, Brother Kent, the Lord has given me something, and I'm wondering if this is for you. I'm wondering, you know, does this bear witness to your heart? A few weeks ago, we were praying for somebody up front. And as we were praying, I believe Brother Joe Smith was praying as the elders were laying hands. And this doesn't happen to me very often. But as we were praying, the Lord gave me a word to speak to this gentleman. And here's what it was. Very simple. It was this. That if you will run after me, says the Lord, as hard as you are running after other things in your life, you will find me. That's all it was. I don't know what that meant for him. But as I said that, he just kind of went, whoa. You know, and I'm like, does that make sense to you? And he said, yes, it does. You see, I'm nothing. I'm just a vessel. But God touched him right where he needed to be because I was bold or foolish enough to be obedient and allow him to speak through my faltering tongue. so we can have knowledge that might be a preparation that God puts on your heart, something you just feel prepared to share it. And by the way, if you ever have something that God has put on your heart and you feel led to share it, we are open here. We make room for that. Whether it's a testimony, whether it's a scripture that God has laid on your heart that you just feel a burning in your heart, you need to share this with the congregation, you let us know. We are open to that. And then there's another word. It says the word of instruction. And this is more of what I'm doing right now, applying truth to a particular matter, applying it to the situation at hand. And as I end up, point two, everything must be done in a fitting and orderly way, says the Lord, for God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. That's verses 40 and 43. And so we read in verse 26 and 28 of chapter 14. He says, what shall we say then, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the body, of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or three at the most should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. So we understand there's an order. There is a way that God wants us to exercise these gifts. Now, folks, are we going to be perfect at this? No. We may make mistakes, but that's okay. We're not perfect. And if we make mistakes, you know what? God will help us. We'll correct it. You know, according to His Word, as best we know, I make mistakes, many of them. Some of them you pick up and some of you don't. I can kind of cover them up and hide them up here. You know? There's times I get completely tongue-tied and don't even know what I'm saying. We make mistakes. So let's relax. You know, at the end of the day, it's not that big a deal if we make a mistake. I had someone say to me, well, how do we really know if it's the Holy Spirit? Well, there's two ways. Verse 29, two or three prophets should speak. By the way, we've only had one this morning. So, Mike, are you ready? Ashley, you ready? We're going to get two more. I'm just kidding. You all getting worried. But in the early church, you have to remember, Sunday was an all-day celebration for them. They didn't have an hour or two-hour service. Sunday was an all-day celebration. And they would have a service in the morning, and they would have a meal together, and they had a message in the morning, they would have a message in the afternoon. And then Paul would come, and they would speak way into the night until Eutychus fell out the window and died. And then they had that prayer meeting, raise him back to life. And then right after that, Paul kept on preaching. So, but he gives some guidelines here. Two or three prophets should speak. And watch this, what's the second half say? And the others weigh carefully what is said. We judge what is happening, what gifts are being used. We judge them by the content. Watch this, and this is very important. The gifts are not judged by your comfort or your discomfort. I got to say that, and say it firmly but gently. The gifts are not judged by how you feel comfortable or uncomfortable. We talked about that at length last week. I had someone come to me and they said, you know, Pastor, I'm just very troubled with this. Well, okay. Why are you troubled? Well, I'm just not sure. Well, what is the message? What is God saying? The elders are here and they are weighing carefully what is said. We're not just, you know, a free-for-all. No. The elders and others are weighing carefully what is said. And it's the content of the message. And it lines up with the Word. It lines up with the whole intent and purpose of God's will. We're okay. We're all right. Now, if it's difficult for you, if it's something that stings you, steps on your spiritual toes, well, guess what? You got to take that up with God, not me. Because if God says something, like He said a few weeks ago, He said, if I were to come today, would you be ready? Wow. I know some of you, it was like a 2x4 up to your head, wasn't it? Some of y'all, it really struck you. And so God is not a God of disorder, and so we weigh carefully what is said. In conclusion, Verses 39 through 40. This is the end of the matter. Verse 39, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Folks, please hear my heart. I understand that some of you have been uncomfortable with some of the ways the Holy Spirit has been ministering over the past weeks. But you must understand, we operate by the Word. We don't operate about how we feel, our feelings about things. And if someone has a concern and has a discomfort over a certain thing, and you know, we will be glad to sit and talk with you. We will look at the Scriptures together. But we're going to follow what's very clearly revealed in the Word. And the Word says, be eager to prophesy. We ought to be looking for God to be working in our midst. Do not forbid speaking in tongues, but there must be interpretation. Everything done in an orderly way. I had someone say to me, Pastor, so are you going to forbid that speaking in tongues would be here? Because if you're not, we're not coming back. Number one, I appreciate and we want you to stay. We don't want anybody to leave. Please understand me. But don't pit us with God's Word. God's Word is clear. Even if you have a concern, God's Word is clear. It says, do not forbid this gift. And so we're going to obey God. We're going to move forward in unity. And carefully and gently, we're going to see the Spirit of God continue to minister to each one of us and through each one of us in the gifts that He is bringing. I look forward to the times in the days ahead when He is just going to continue to do marvelous things. I hope we can come away from a church service without being able to explain, humanly explain, everything that happened. Because if we can explain everything that humanly that happened, then what did the Holy Spirit do? If we can come away and say, well, that, you know, that was a nice message and that was nice music and praise God and, you know, let's go watch the football game. Brothers and sisters, if that's what you want out of a church service, you're in the wrong church. Because we are here to worship God and allow His Holy Spirit to minister powerfully to us, minister to us. That's what we need. We need this. We need God's Holy Spirit. We need His Word. And there's an old saying, if you have only the Word of God and you focus only on the Word, you will dry up. On the other hand, if you focus only on the Holy Spirit, you will burn up. But if we focus on Jesus, His Word, and His Spirit, we will grow up. We will grow up. God has given us His Word. He has given us His Spirit. He has exalted the Lord Jesus. And that's the balance we want to keep in our lives and in the congregation and in this ministry. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Amen. Amen. Pray with me. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you for its truth. Thank you for cutting through so many things that we are often confused about and troubled about and speaking so clearly to us, Lord. We ask that you will continue to give each one of us clarity and unity, that we would understand the leadership is in unity here. We're moving forward in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And Lord, as we do that, and as we honor your Word, as we honor what the Holy Spirit wants to do here, you're going to do marvelous things. Lord, we're going to hear many testimonies over and over again of what you are doing. And we're going to say to God be the glory, great things He has done. We rejoice in you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us your Spirit. Lord, I bless these people. As we go forth from this place, may we go in the filling and the power of the Spirit to minister to each other and to this lost world. Lord Jesus, be glorified in each one of our lives today and the rest of this week as we walk with you. In your name we pray.